Good morning. It is good to be with you. And yes, we did have the discussion in the minister's room whether Levi or I goes first. And we decided if I want at least 5 minutes, maybe I should go first. So we did have that discussion. So he kept his part of the deal. But no, it is good to be with you as a congregation. And Levi and Emma, good to be with you as well and share together. This morning in sharing, and I appreciated what Dan shared in sharing time, because sometimes we kind of get the emphasis on the wrong side of something. In other words, we may say, you know, we're concerned about law and living in obedience, that's true, but to be above the law, living that righteous life, you know, no longer are we worried about the law. So in school, when we talked about this, sometimes we talked about getting the emphasis on the right syllable. And then we made fun of words where we put emphasis on the other syllable that's not the primary syllable. And sometimes we, quote, put emphasis on the wrong place. And this morning's sermon is coming out of a study that I did thinking about nonconformity. But as I did that and looked at the verses that we often go to in Romans, when we talk about nonconformity, I thought it's as I studied it, looked at the word and what it says clearly there, sometimes I think we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. And this is not a sermon this morning about being anti or against this, our doctrine of nonconformity. Rather, to look at what comes first or where the emphasis is that will result in nonconformity or a changed life and a different lifestyle. So this morning we're thinking about that emphasis or where the emphasis is. And so the verse in Romans, the first two verses, and it's not really our text. We're going to be reading the entirety of Ephesians 4 here shortly, just as thinking about this transformed life. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know these probably by memory. And we go here when we talk about this subject of nonconformity. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then this phrase here, verse 2 of chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the familiar verses. What stood out to me as I looked at this subject is the importance to do not or be not conformed to this world. But then what is the real instruction here? It's don't do that, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we contend when we read this verse to put the emphasis on do not be conformed to this world. But the emphasis here really is, but instead of that, be ye transformed. And how is that changed? By the things that we wear or the things that we do? No, let's read the verse. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are thinking differently, or we think differently. Our mind or mindset, our will, desire, pursuit changes. It's who we are. It's internal that becomes external. Okay? Get that. This renewing of your mind is internal that becomes external. So I'm not doing away with the external here, but I'm afraid that if we focus on the external and we forget or don't remember that it's a product of a transformed life, that is a product of a renewed mind or a changed mind. So that's what I'd like us to think about, the importance of transformation, renewing of the mind, internal that becomes external. They're tied together, and we're not discounting one or the other. There's the verse that I read, this transformed life. Transformed, and we probably know this well, but I thought it we highlight it again. This idea of transform is where we get our word metamorphosis, or to change shape. And at the bottom there, the note, it's suggesting a changed or new or different form. So things are going to be different. And so when a butterfly, a caterpillar, goes through the process of metamorphosis and becomes a butterfly, the net result is something that looks very different. But the process or the transformation is the internal workings, the scientific working of what's happening. It results in a butterfly. The process is metamorphosis. Does that make sense? So that you become a butterfly, we become this Christian, this changed person with a different life and lifestyle that looks different. So the next part here, and I just want to highlight this before we think more about transformation, is approved of God. And so there's this important part that when we think about nonconformity, and again, I am very much a person, and my belief is that when we are transformed, it will change us, and there is a benefit and blessing in a nonconformed life. All right? I want to state that very clearly. But we sometimes, if we're focusing, remember I said about focusing on the wrong syllable or the wrong aspect? If we do or focus on the nonconformity without thinking about or putting the emphasis on a transformed life, a renewed mind, then we can seek the approval of man. All right? But here, both in verse 1 and verse 2, this whole idea of being transformed, having a renewed mind, being a nonconformed person isn't to make you look good to others around you. We're doing it, or the motivation is, for what Christ has done for us, and so that we may please him or be approved of God. And so many times, if we can put that emphasis at the wrong place, we're looking for the approval of men. Okay, am I measuring up? And the standard then can become a church standard, and so we can say, well, we fall within the church standard, so therefore we must be approved of God. How about we say it this way? If we desire to be approved of God and be transformed and have a renewed mind, just kind of like what you were saying, Dan, then by the way, we'll be joyfully fitting to the church standard. But that's not where the approval is coming from. That, oh, he's a good member doing everything that the covenant tells him to do. He's a child of God, changed and obedient to him, and he thinks differently about life, and he lives happily in obedience to the guidelines. So just thinking about this idea of approved of God, and how when we put that focus on the being nonconformed without the transformation, that sounds different, and sometimes we get our approval or thinking that we're doing good from the wrong emphasis of just doing or putting on the right things. Who's approved of God? Whose approval are we seeking? And, you know, here we can take this discussion a number of different ways, but I liked this comment. It's not original with me. When Christians seek worldly validation, they compromise their ability to be salt and light in the world, hindering their mission to share the gospel. So we are called to be salt and light, and we do this as we seek God's approval and not the approval of the world. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians 4, and I know when we read extended portions of scriptures, it can be a time where we get distracted, but I'm going to read Ephesians 4 here, and thinking about this idea of a transformed life. And I know the emphasis or the center verses here in 22, 23, and 24 kind of spell it out. But right away in the beginning, as we start reading this chapter, you will see Paul saying to the church at Ephesus is, I beseech you, or he's really saying, I beg that you walk or live, walk like that's your daily life, worthy of the vocation or being this changed person, that it does have an interconnection here between transformed and your walk. They're going to tie together. You need to walk worthy of this calling or this transformation. Ephesians 4:1. Just think about, as we read through the first half, think about the walk or the way that we live, and then look at some of the contrasts. Then in the after verse 24, there's some contrasts. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he hath said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, but because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him, and that ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And be ye angry, and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So very familiar, but clearly talking about an old man, a new man, a transformed life, a changed life that is results in quite difference. And the contrasts are very evident. Verse 25 talks about lying, now truthful. 28, stealing, now giving. Filthy communication, edifying. So we're talking about the emphasis here is on what we become, not what we put off. Yes, what we put off is stated here, but the emphasis more so is on what we're to become. Separation in life and lifestyle. And as we think about this transformed life, what does a separated life look like? And I alluded to this earlier already. Sometimes the emphasis is more on what we do not do. That's the emphasis being on the not conform, be not conformed. The emphasis on the do not. And there are things that we should not do. The Bible clearly states and calls out what is sin. When we talk about this, we maybe can visualize this type of picture. It's what we do not do, the bottom right, the sin and the sinful. It's what we're not doing that. But sometimes when I think about that, we can, in our settings and where we come from and enough of separation from the world, that for the most part, I can say that we still are clearly identified. Maybe not as clearly identified as the picture that we saw there just prior to this, but we're still identified as a separate people. If you want to focus in, maybe even on the area of dress, we can, for the most part, still be identified. And I'm careful here. I think we need to continue to be modest and biblical in what we do and what we wear so that that identifier is still present. So that is a part of this separated life. What does the transformed life look like? So instead of putting this emphasis on not being conformed, putting the emphasis on being transformed, I think the emphasis now is now on who we are and the changes that we do. So it's emphasis on who we are, who we become, who we are in Christ as a transformed person, who we are. It's a change of desires, attitudes, and motives. It's something different than, again, we talked about internal that becomes external here. Transformed life. And so I want us to just think about this picture just a little bit more. And I think this is more where this tension comes about this transformed life, this separated life in our daily and in our interaction. You know, to be transformed changes what is important to me. What I spend time doing is all impacted, but it's coming from a different pursuit. We talked about pursuits, desires, ambitions. And transformed lives result in different pursuits. Again, is it a group of men studying the Bible together? Is just our personal time with the Lord? A desire to live in obedience? There could be a lot said in that picture of this, I think would indicate a group of men getting together to study God's word and to know the truth of God's word. If you're a part of a men's group, to live in obedience, to live a holy life, all that could be said, like, is that something that we get excited about? And I'm going to maybe even pick on us. It's not Father's Day yet, but as men here, you know, is that what excites us? Is that, or can we get drawn into the bottom right picture? And I think this is where the tension is. There's a lot of, this is sports, entertainment, worldly pursuits that we could name them all. A transformed life. Well, that, if we are transformed, does something happen about what is exciting to me? There's a lot of excitement in the bottom right picture there. But is there a lot of excitement or desire, true desire, in the top left picture there? And where am I? I mean, look at them for a minute and just think about it. And it may not, you may think football, I think it is there, is as boring as the day is long. You know, that's fine if you think football is boring. But then what about our draw into God and country? We see a flag present there as well. Again, the emphasis isn't on nonconformity. The emphasis is a transformed life. What will we pursue as transformed Christians? So I have something for us to think about here a little bit. Separation, life, and lifestyle. We talked about what does a separated life look like? What does a transformed life look like? And we talked about the difference between the two. Can we be separated without being transformed? And this next slide, I almost deleted it when I looked at it again this morning, but I'm not making light of our more conservative Anabaptists when I say this. It's just making a point. It could be just as well you or I engaging in wrong activities. So the question here is, can we be separated or live this, quote, non-conformed life meeting certain criteria and not be transformed? And so, as you see on these pictures, there's the very clear indication of a non-conformed dress, or at least to some degree, non-conformed dress. But then the activities that are occurring, we would question, does that indicate truly a separated life? And again, I am not, hope you can understand the emphasis here, and this is not, I have a lot of very good born again Amish and conservative customers, friends that I know. And so I, like I say, it's not for that intent. It's just for me and you to say, or, and we may not to this extent be practicing this life of nonconformity or meeting certain criterias, but maybe it's just better to go back here. Am I in the bottom? Let me see, how am I looking at this? Your bottom right, yeah. The bottom right, am I living in that? Maybe I'm not in the right picture here, but maybe I'm in the bottom right picture in the other. As we think about this idea of separation, and we can be non-conformed to, in certain areas, but not be transformed. Transformation changes who we are. Now, here's probably the better question, the question I was trying to maybe get to all along in how this really happens. Because if I told you at the very beginning, I very much support the idea that we are nonconformed, or that we live differently. Our life and lifestyle will be different as a child of God's. I believe that, and I think it should be, and I think it should be evident. And I believe in my life, I still have areas to grow, so it is more evident that I am a set apart, separate people. Can we be transformed without being separate or separated? So if as believers, we believe in Christ, he transforms us, he renews our mind, we follow his word, we live in obedience to his word, we look at the life of Christ as our example, how can it not make us different than those around us? We will be separated. We will be different, but when that motivation or that emphasis is on the transformation, the renewed mind, it is just so different in how that plays out, or even how we express that, or how we humbly apply some of the principles that we apply. James 4, I'm going to read a few verses around this. James 4, and I'm going to read from the NASB here, just this Verse 3 and 4. Ye ask and do not receive, because ye ask with wrong motives, so that ye may spend it on your pleasures. Ye adulteresses, do ye not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So there is clear biblical teaching, and James does it well, where he states that, yes, we are to be a separate people. And if we are living like the world, we are not living pleasing to God, an enemy to God. Earlier, we talked about it in Romans, that our goal is to be approved of God, to seek his approval. Here, we become the enemy of God when we live like the world. Daniel Kaufman, Doctrines of the Bible, I put these here just to have us read over them to understand where our background comes from and this principle of a transformed life that leads to a lifestyle of nonconformity. And I'm not going to necessarily read them all. You can read them. I think they're well stated in Doctrines of the Bible. that we will be separate people. I'm going to just emphasize number five here, that in this separate, holy, God-honoring life, the people of God are letting their lights shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, thus drawing the minds of people to God. There's just so much packed in there. But is that what's evidence? Is that something that could be said about my life? People around me, just that in the way that I live, or the separated, holy, God-honoring life, all the ones that people you interact with next week, we're letting our light shine. Some of them are really evil people that we're going to bump into. And as they do that, they're not going to look and say, you are a really good person. What are they going to say? Drawing the minds of people to God. Something that as we live a non-conformed life is a transformed life, people will be drawn to God. It's not to me. And when that emphasis is the transformed life, the renewed mind, then that automatically takes the focus back to God. I'm not doing any of this to be approved of others, to draw attention to myself, or that I'm righteous in my doing of these things. It's only because I love Christ and I want to live a Christ-like life. And so people, when they see that kind of nonconformity, their minds will be drawn to God and Christ. That's challenging to me. And I think it helps me put all this in perspective of ultimately it's to bring glory to God through the way I live today, tomorrow, next week. God glorified in my life. That's challenging. It's challenging to me that as I go and interact with people, that somehow God is glorified because of my close connection, my transformation, my renewed mind that I have with God, that he can get glory through, say your name there, that God, people will be directed to God, you're that channel. See, now I'm doing all these non-conformed things for all the right reasons. I want to be approved of God and bring glory to his name in my life. That's powerful. That I can actually do that. That God trusts me to be that channel. And that's a high calling. That's so much more than meeting the guidelines. And Harold Martin says it this way. I'll read it. To sanctify means to set apart or declare holy for God's service. And again, that's you and I, holy for God's service. Sanctification is the process by which a believer is more and more separated from sin and becomes more and more dedicated to God's standard of righteousness. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, and literally his own people there, he says, zealous of good works. So a called out people, or his own people, a chosen child here can be also inserted. So he brings unto himself, you and I, as chosen children of him, that we were zealously or actively engage in doing good works. Just a few things here as I wrap up. The world does expect Christians to be different. Really, when they think about it, we know that in reverse. We hear it sometimes where, well, how can they be a Christian if they do that? In reverse, they do expect Christians to be different. There is a level of respect for those who live out their faith. And again, there's various denominations and ways that we make living a transformed life and having this lifestyle and ways we put this to practice. But there is a level of respect for those who live out their faith. And then the question is, can we effectively witness as a Christian without a visible Christ-likeness? And I think we all know the answer, but then we need to think about what that means in our daily walk, our transformed life, having that renewed mind, and then a very different life that's going to be the result of that. Can we effectively witness as a Christian without a visible Christ-likeness? And so when you think of nonconformity, maybe think of it as a visible Christ-likeness. Maybe that brings a little new perspective to your mind. Yes, nonconformed, but that is visible Christ-likeness. Again, so God is glorified in my life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning and to look into your word and to understand again what it means to be a child of yours. You called us, you redeemed us through Jesus Christ, your son. You called us into a personal relationship with you. And through that personal relationship, we now desire to love you, to serve you, to honor and glorify you with our lives. And Lord, this morning, as we think about what it means to live a life that brings glory to you, it means a change takes place in our desires, our will, our emotions, our minds. So Lord, continue to sanctify our hearts, our lives, so that we can bring honor and glory to you, and we can advance the name of Jesus through our daily walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.